Chapter 22. The Prad Prig. Sometime in late December 1854, Pierce met a man named Andrew Taggart in the King's Arms public house off Regent Street. Taggart was by then nearly 60 and a well-known character in the neighbourhood. He had survived a long and varied career, which is worth briefly recounting, for he is one of the few participants in the great train robbery whose background is known. Taggart was born around 1790 outside Liverpool and came to London near the turn of the century with his unmarried mother, a prostitute. By the age of 10, he was employed in the resurrection trade, the business of digging up fresh corpses from graveyards to sell to medical schools. He soon acquired a reputation for uncommon daring. It was said that he once transported a stiff through London streets in daylight with the man propped up in his cart like a passenger. The Anatomy Act of 1838 ended the business in corpses, and Andrew Taggart shifted to the smasher's job of ringing the changes, disposing of counterfeit money. In this manoeuvre, a genuine coin would be offered to a shopkeeper for some purchase, and then the smasher would fumble in his purse, saying that he thought he had the correct change, and take the original coin back. After a while, he would say, "No, I don't have it after all," and hand over a counterfeit coin in place of the original. This was petty work, and Taggart soon tired of it. He moved on to a variety of con games, becoming a full-fledged magsman by the middle 1840s. He was apparently very successful in his work. He took a respectable flat in Camden Town, which was not a wholly respectable area. Charles Dickens had lived there some 15 years earlier, while his father was in prison. Taggart also took a wife, one Mary Maxwell, a widow. And it is one of those minor ironies that the master magsman should himself be conned. Mary Maxwell was a coiner, specialising in small silver coins. This bit-faker had served time in prison on several occasions and knew something of the law, which her new husband apparently did not, for she had not married idly. A woman's legal position was already the subject of active attempts at reform. But at this time, women did not have the right to vote, to own property, or to make wills, and the earnings of any married woman who was separated from her husband were still legally the property of her husband. Although the law treated women as near idiots and appeared overwhelmingly to favour men, there were some odd quirks, as Taggart discovered soon enough. In 1847, the police raided Mary Taggart's coining operation, catching her red-handed in the midst of stamping out sixpenny pieces. She greeted the raid with equanimity, announced pleasantly that she was married, and told the police the whereabouts of her husband. By law, a husband was responsible for any criminal activities of his wife. It was assumed that such activity must be the result of the husband's planning and execution, in which the wife was a mere, and perhaps unwilling, participant.